Warning, if there is anyone present that is under the age of 18, please ask them, cover their ears.
Hey guys, I just got my period today. I'm so scared, what should I do? What does this mean? Can I ever go back?
Here's a warning to all of you who may or may not be on hallucinogenic drugs, this can get a little weird.
Well, I think it's...
Let's get ready to suck up!
Who's your backup quarterback?
We haven't made that decision yet.
What the fuck?
This is episode 1 of Bears 100 Proof. We got our period for the first time. We are uncensored, unrestricted, and unconditionally yours. My name is Aldo Gandia, and seconds ago you heard John Fox proclaim on Monday that a decision has not been made regarding who the backup quarterback is for week 1. So you can take that one of two ways, I guess. Number one, he's either a big bullshitter, or number two, he is batshit crazy stupid. With me to discuss whether Coach Fox is sane, stupid, or simply a deceiver is Shane Marsaw, who, also known as the smartest man in the barroom, and draft doctor Phil Atosian. Fellas, let's start Bears 100 Proof with a hard-hitting discussion on Fox. We've blasted him before. In fact, this is what draft Dr. Phil recently said about Fox and his decision to start Mike Glennon over Trubisky.
This guy is so erratic, so inconsistent, that to put him out there is a disservice. And it's a disservice to the team, it's a disservice to the fans, and it's a disservice to Mitchell Trubisky.
That is, of course, a portion of one of our new ads featuring the good draft Dr. Phil. But now I want to blast Fox for this indecision on who the Bears' second-string quarterback is. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we shouldn't blast him. Maybe this is just part of the process. Let me begin with the smartest man in the room, Shane Marsaw. What do you think about this indecision by John Fox and how he's handled this whole quarterback situation?
Well, I'd like to start off my Bears 100 proof career by calling John Fox a cunt. How's that?
How appropriate.
No, to me, it's just, I think he's just classically overthinking this entire situation. I don't know if he's trying to use it as motivation for Trubisky or motivation for Mike Glennon, or if he thinks it's actually going to give him a strategic advantage over Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons. I don't understand it. If you come out and say Mike Glennon is the starter, everybody and their brother knows that it's clear as day that Mitchell Trubisky needs to be the number two at this point. Mark Sanchez is the tutor behind the scenes, and he should be the game day inactive. It shouldn't be Mitchell Trubisky, and to me, it's just John Fox being typical John Fox rather than coming out and putting all of this drama to rest. He's just creating more of it by continuing this dog and pony show for some strange reason. There's no, like I said, there's no competitive advantage to it. Just if Mike Glennon is your guy, just say Mitch is number two, and let's get ready for Atlanta.
Yeah, I listened to Monday's press conference with Fox, and there were probably four or five times where he said, I don't want to say anything to give the opposing team the competitive advantage. I mean, and he was being asked softball questions like, what'd you guys have for breakfast or whatever? So it's a little ridiculous how far he takes that. Phil, what is your thought behind them not naming Trubisky the backup quarterback? And you wrote something on Twitter today that I thought was hilarious. Why don't you share it with the audience?
I wrote a lot on Twitter, so
about if Trubisky
I think
is
I'm a
inactive.
Funny guy.
You are.
No,
I think it was about Jay Cutler being safe in Miami during the hurricane, wasn't it?
I'm flying down to Dustin right now. We're going to go get him.
No, oh my God. Dustin's probably building a storm shelter for Cutler. Right
now. No, I will lose my mind if Mitchell Trubisky is inactive. I think this is way on the side of Shane, old school, overthinking, crock of crap. I mean, if this kid's far exceeded your expectations, then what are your expectations? Because that, in and above itself, that kind of statement, you should reward that. And at what point is this going to separate the team? That's where I concern, and I know we're at the week one mark, Aldo, but seriously, I've coached, I've been around the locker room my whole life. There's certain decisions a coach needs to make and assess in regards to personnel that is going to fly peacefully throughout the locker room when it comes to who gives the opportunity for the team to win most. And right now, it's clear to me Mike Glennon shouldn't even be the number one starter. So to do any kind of game planning and worry about the Falcons with your number two, this is just typical Bears bullshit. I'm sorry. It drives me crazy that you can't just come out with a depth chart or state to the media the truth. And I know people get on me, what coach does, well, winning coaches just tell you like it is. And if you remember Ditka, who won a Super Bowl here, he said it like it is. Now, I'm not a guy that goes back and talks about the 85 Bears all the time, but I certainly respect the guy that's going to just tell it to you, and he's going to give it to you on Sundays. You know it's coming. You try to stop it. That's how you have to have your mentality here. Mitchell Trubisky should know, maybe he does behind closed doors, but the nation should know that you believe in this young man, and so does this team, and he's your number two at the very least. I'm trying to pick up the pieces here, Aldo, for a coaching staff that I feel is failing in regards to assessing personnel in the preseason in 3 years running. I've seen them make decisions that only are rectified by injury. So here we are, season number three with this coaching staff, and it's very clear to me that I don't know who the hell Mike Glennon is, and nobody in the NFL knows who Mike Glennon is, but I think the Atlanta Falcons are freaking so happy that Mike Glennon's going to be starting come Sunday.
Shane, I was talking to someone on Twitter today. I can't find the gentleman's name, but I said to him, maybe we've been too hard on Mike Glennon. Let's be realistic. How, the guy hasn't thrown an NFL pass, outside of a mop-up on a couple of games for two whole seasons. And maybe what we saw in these three preseason games was just rust. And we did see some slow development. Clearly, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady here, but maybe we will have a serviceable quarterback until Trubisky is ready to go in the eyes of the Bears' brain trust. What do you think? Maybe there's hope that Glennon can continue to progress and that he can be a serviceable quarterback? Are we being too hard on him?
I think that hope is there. That, I mean, by Bears brass, I think 99.9% of fans, other than Mrs. Glennon and Mr. and Mrs. Glennon, the parents of Mike Glennon, might be the only ones that believe he has a chance. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Ryan Pace wants him to go out there and show that he is serviceable, to use him as a trade chip in the off season. But I do agree with what you say, Aldo. I think overall, listen, you see these guys, we've all been raised as Chicago Bears fans, and it's having an offensive superstar on the offensive side of the ball is few and far between. And, let's not forget just a few short months ago when, you know, Matt Barkley showed some semblance of just having a heartbeat at the quarterback position, there was legitimate people out there that were saying, hey, this guy might have something. He might, you know, it's just that's the love for our team coming out, and you want to grasp onto somebody. I think it's, you know, it's like the Adrian Amos effect when when Trestman was here and our defense was so obliterated, and then he got fired and just nobody to really build around on defense. Adrian Amos goes out there and shows a little bit of a heartbeat, and everybody grasps onto him, and he's a superstar in the making. He's going to be, you know, this guy that we stole. And not saying that Mike Glennon is that type of guy. I have no problem if the Bears start Mike Glennon and put him on a short leash. I understand the process. I don't think it's going to inhibit Mitchell Trubisky's development whatsoever to sit on the sidelines for a couple of games in an NFL game. It's a different game. Obviously, everybody knows that. But to me, what is key is Mike Glennon has to have a short leash. If it's completely clear that he's going to hold your team back and he's not only preventing them from winning ball games, but he's, you know, literally causing them to lose them, you have to flip the page and start the Mitchell Trubisky experience quicker than everybody planned. I mean, you heard John Fox make comments himself, and Mitchell Trubisky himself make the same comments that he has surprised everybody with how far ahead he is from where even they thought he was. But I'm not the guy that is going to sit here and say that if Mike Glennon starts setting this franchise back. I think that's a lot of fanboy coming out more so than anything. Yes, Mitchell Trubisky needs the experience, but I think he does need some experience to see the actual live bullets coming in an NFL game, in meaningful games, not in the preseason. And if he is on the sideline for these first four games as a Mike Glennon audition, I don't think that's detrimental to his development at all.
Yeah, I laugh when you brought up Matt Barkley, because I remember last season I was going to write an article where the title was something like, "Is Barkley the One?" You know, thinking that after he had a couple of good games, and then he threw five interceptions or eight interceptions in 2 weeks, and I said, I don't think I should write that article anymore.
Yeah, this game, this show would be called Bears 34 Proof without hot take.
That's right. Well, and the big question, of course, that we're all concerned about, knowing that Trubisky is the future, is how is he going to really prepare for the starting job? And John Fox was asked about that at Monday's press conference, and he spoke at length about Trubisky being the scout team quarterback and that those reps would be invaluable. Here's what gravelly voice Mr. John Cunt Fox said.
Well, I think, you know, you're getting a lot of looks. There's a lot of people who do very similar things in our league. So just being under center, you know, seeing defenses, you know, not to say he won't get any of the regular reps throughout the season. He'll get a combination of both, just as all three of our quarterbacks, primarily the 2 and 3.
Jesus, that guy annoys me, man.
makes my throat hurt listening to him.
Oh, my God. Phil, what do you think? You've talked about this before, your concerns about Dow Loggins and whether he can develop Trubisky, and now Fox is trying to sell the story that being the scout team quarterback is going to be helpful. What are your thoughts on that? Are you buying some of that?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, yes, never going to take away from scout team quarterbacks, but you're also holding up cards or the iPads, whatever they use, the Surface Pros, and you're going through another team's playbook when you do that. So although you're getting reps, you're not repping your own playbook. So the talent that we saw, and here's where everything fails. Does this kid, Mike Glennon, go out there and absolutely shit down his leg? That's the concern. Now, all of a sudden, you know, whether Shane agrees with it or not, now Mitchell Trubisky has to go clean up the mess at the most important position in all of sports. When your GM's talking about that, are there questions about the GM? You know, assessing appropriate talent. Mike Glennon was not in my vicinity of starting quality. Now, we did film review, me and Lauren Cox, Shane, all of us, and there's some things that you can like on tape, but ultimately, like you said in the show, he's had 11 passes since 2014. He's not been a proven quarterback, and to not open the quarterback competition while in scrimmages, that's the problem I have here. They didn't truly do that. So now you're going to put this kid in a position where he's got to become, you know, he has to be good because Mike Glennon's going to crumble. Now, if Mike Glennon doesn't crumble, you know, is this kid getting appropriate reps to be ready to play? There's so many questions that this team creates at that quarterback position instead of handling it with time appropriately. You saw the similar thing with Kyle Long being thrust to right tackle and then fans getting on him about his performance at right tackle. Meanwhile, when you look at the tape, he's shutting down five of the best pass rushers in the NFL and doing a damn good job of it on tape. You know, PFF or somebody else scores differently, and maybe Kyle was harder on himself than he should be, which he usually is, but it's like that. Now we have to have question marks instead of have these things answered when it was appropriate. After that Denver Broncos game, when they put him in the 2-minute drill, and Shane and I and everyone was praising this coaching staff for doing something out of the ordinary that they normally wouldn't do, which was smart. They come back and they
isn't it bad that we're praising them for doing something normal?
Exactly. That's exactly like Bill Belichick would have done that. You know, Bruce Arians would have done that. Look at Hugh Jackson, what he did by appropriately putting the quarterback in positions to assess them in an NFL speed environment. You saw that with Mitchell Trubisky, and then you get commentary and narrative. Oh, he's doing it against fourth stringers and guys at Stop and Shop. It's a joke. The talent doesn't lie, just like on the last show with Cam Meredith and Kevin White comparison. Just jumps out at you. You see it. So the great coaches would say, you know what? We're not using my playbook. We're using the plays that I'm going to draw up that this team is going to be successful with. He already fits the scheme, Aldo. I'm talking about Trubisky better than Glennon on the zone scheme where he gives you that boot run threat and he's an athlete. Mike Glennon doesn't give you that. So I think the odds of Mike Glennon being successful are going to be, I mean, it's going to be a mountain I don't think he's going to climb. I'll be the first one to eat crow come next Monday night on BHL. I will totally eat it. But my feelings, he doesn't give you the best chance to win. And I think the fans and the football analysts that are being realistic see that. So when you see that versus the lies that you're being given and this hype and the, and it's throughout their media department, Bears, that is, that talking about practice squad reps and not knowing who the number two is. You should be, nope, Mitch is our number two. Mark's here in a case of emergency. That truthfulness will go so far with a fan base that is craving wins and craving, competency. At the quarterback position. And really, that's how I see this. It's so opposite of what I would do as a head football coach. The whole team would know that Mike is not safe. And Mike would know that. And you know what? Mike would be a better quarterback. Or Mike's true colors would show. and he wouldn't be in there, and Mitchell would be at the top because I have no other choice than to play the best. And that's where this team and the offensive coordinator has failed.
You know, one of the things that's I've been mulling over the last few weeks is that the game has changed to the point where it is easier to start rookie quarterbacks than in the past. Because of rule changes where quarterbacks get more pass protection time, wide receivers are not harassed downfield as often, because of college football has become pass happy and so forth. That old paradigm of, you know, sitting a quarterback for a year or two or three, like Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre, you know, that maybe that's not as applicable. We've seen a lot of first-year quarterbacks over the last 5-6 years have success in their rookie years, much more so than I recall seeing in the 70s and 80s back then. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Is there anybody here on this esteemed panel tonight that thinks that Trubisky's going to be sitting for an extended period of time? I mean, do you like Aldo? Do you yourself? Do you think that they're going to give him a long leash of, you know, 8 to 10 games?
No,
or 12 to 14.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got those tough first 4 games. I think they really want Glennon to finish those 4 games, and then once the schedule gets easier, you know, they put Trubisky on there. But if Glennon plays well, we may not see Trubisky start a football game all season, but, you know, that's highly unlikely. But I agree, the leash isn't really very short, but I think that they'll at least give him the first 3-4 games of the season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting week 3.
Yeah, I mean, that's good.
I'm nervous, Shane, to answer your question. I'm scared.
We'll never see him again.
That they are
fold me,
sit
hold
there.
Me.
I'm very nervous. Like, for example,
wait, are you being overly dramatic,
no,
Phil? Not
I'm
you,
being,
right?
I'm being a Bears follower for years.
All right, Phil, let me ask you.
I watched this team, okay? And we saw Brian Hoyer, okay, be hyped up by a coaching staff, but really, through the 20s, he's dinking and dunking, and we're not scoring points.
Yeah, and who was their fallback plan when Cutler was hurt, though? I mean, are they going to go out there and trash their one healthy quarterback? I'm not sure what else they were supposed to do.
I didn't say trash them. I'm just saying.
Well, hyped up. I mean, I think they're all going to get. I think no matter who is the starting.
You had Cutler coming back from health.
Yeah, there was that.
They were talking about, well, Brian, we're going to roll with Brian, but he gives us the best chance to win. We saw it with Trestman, Jimmy Clausen. We need a spark. We had a great practice. I've seen this so much with this Bears organization and Shane. And Aldo have said this to me before, and I didn't believe it. Now I think you guys are right. It starts up top, because how else can I explain Lovie Smith coming in here? Rex is our quarterback. Rex is our quarterback. Rex, you know. And then you got all these issues stemming from this one position. Now you go out, you draft a guy 2nd overall, Shane. He goes out, and I will say this for the record. I thought he was the most impressive rookie quarterback out of all of them. Based on what it is you want to see out of an NFL passer, this kid did it. He proved all of these shitheads wrong about being under center. All that stuff was so dramatic. It was so
Charlie dumb. Charlie Casserly said the same thing today. You know, that he was the most impressive rookie. Yeah, quarterback. But, you know, Phil, you brought up during your rant there on Glennon, you know, you brought up a couple of things, you know, that Trubisky has to be good if Glennon goes out there and fails. Well, he's got to be good no matter what. It doesn't matter. If he starts game one, Mitch Trubisky has to be the fucking man. It's what he was brought here to be. It doesn't matter.
I agree with that.
It doesn't matter if it's in game one or if it's in game four. And as far as, yes, Glennon is going to fail, I think Ryan Pace expects that. That's why he drafted Mitch Trubisky. That's why he gave up the draft capital to go get Mitch Trubisky after he paid for Mike Glennon. I think it's, like I said, Mike Glennon to me is nothing more than going to the casino and putting every bit of money that you have down on seven, you know, to hit.
But here's the thing.
You're taking a swing at the fence for him to show some semblance of being a viable NFL quarterback, because we see what the NFL looks like. I mean, Jesus, Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback in San Francisco. There's going to be somebody out there if he shows a heartbeat, even if it's only a conditional sixth rounder. That's all Mike Glennon is. Mike Glennon is not a building block. All that stuff was proven by Ryan Pace the day that he drafted Mitch Trubisky number two. To me, this is nothing more than window dressing, Mike Glennon, just to give Mitch a couple more games to sit.
Well, here's this. I don't believe in sitting. I don't believe it, and I don't think it's even right. I don't give a shit who's across the other sideline, NFL champs or whatever. That he learns from. You want to see someone get better? They go against the best. That's what should happen. Look at Seattle. You similar situation. Who the fuck's Matt Flynn? You know? But Matt Flynn actually was a more accomplished quarterback in game than Mike Glennon. So when Ryan Pace knows Mike Glennon sucks, basically. I'm getting to the cliff notes with you. Then why is he playing? That's not okay with me as a football guy. Mike Glennon holds the clipboard. Mike Glennon talks about game plans with Mitch Trubisky. Mike Glennon is Mark Sanchez then. That's what he should be in a quarterback competition. And that's where I have an issue. I don't give a shit about it's a hard road to toe. Well, guess who's going to help us win those games? It's not going to be Mike Glennon. And I'll totally, totally put something on it. But I cannot see. I see this Chicago Bears defense ready for playoff type of defense. I see that running back, him and Cohen, being a top shelf, and Cohen being an offset that. So now all of a sudden, an interior offensive line, a left tackle that got paid and is motivated, and we're going to blow it in the first four games on Mike Glennon to see if he can do anything, maybe, because they don't know. And how they handled the preseason was wrong. It simply was, because even how they handled Mike, he should have been playing in the fourth preseason game a couple series, because that Titans game that they're praising, that one drive, because everywhere else I could show you on the play, on the tape, guy was awful, putrid. In fact, he couldn't hit NFL throws, and he's not tough. He's not stepping into a guy that's coming in on a blitz and make that touchdown throw like a Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers would. He doesn't have that thirst to be great. That's what I see about him in the pie. I see him hopping and padding and hopping and throwing it into the dirt. This isn't even our first game, and this is what I saw. So do I have a right to question the personnel decisions of the offensive coordinator based on past history? Absolutely. And that's where I am, Shane. I think you're 100% right with Mitchell Trubisky. He's got to be great. I'm just saying the fan expectation has to come with he's going to make mistakes. He's not going to piss down his pants. That's what I feel like is going to transpire this Sunday. You're going to see a great drive here or there, and the Bears are going to hype this shit up like Mike Glennon gave him a greater opportunity to win. And that's what I'm not going to. We talked about this 100%. 100%, 100 proof, the truth. That's all you're getting from me on this show. Mike Glennon, to me, is a backup, not even in the top 20 quarterbacks in the league.
Phil, do you think it's a detriment if under, like, what I am thinking the philosophy is that if they give, obviously Glennon has been named the starter for Atlanta, and they let him go out there with a short leash, do you think that that's a detriment to the development of Mitch Trubisky if he's out there on a short leash?
All right. It depends on what your leash is. For me, I want to give you an example. Remember Jonathan Quinn's game where he couldn't move the ball across midfield?
Yes.
Yep. If he goes out...
2004.
Remember it was. If he goes out and plays like that, and they come back next week and say, well, we're rolling with Mike, that's when me as a football coach who recognizes, as well as all the fans, that you only get 16 of these. You're giving up. Might as well throw in the white flag because your whole team is going to be separated, because that's when locker rooms get – the defense is stopping. I'm calling this now. I know Aldo's doing – Bears on tap on Friday, but I'm calling this right now. This defense is going to give that quarterback in Atlanta fucking fits, and they are going to be in this game to win it. And Mike Glennon is going to have to make two plays, and he's going to piss down his legs, and he's going to freaking either throw an interception for a touchdown, giving points away, or he's going to fumble son and do something stupid and not get us a first down. And then we're going to have this conversation next week, and me and you are going to decide if this coaching staff can't see the cart before the horse here, because this is – it's troubling because they're talking Mike Glennon up as if he's some proven commodity, when really, ultimately, I don't see it, Aldo. I'm, like, banging my head against the wall with this guy.
Sorry. I was looking for my man crying sound effect. I'm listening to you saying Glennon is going to piss all over himself. And it's just depressing the shit out of me. Shane, say something to cheer me up, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a roundabout way, Phil and I are actually, believe it or not, for the first show, this is kind of shocking. I think we're on the same wavelength here a little bit. The situation does matter, but if they're going to give him a short leash, I don't think they're going to let him go out there the first game. I don't think it's do or die in game one. I realize, Phil, you only get 16 of these, and maybe it's after game two, maybe it's after game three. Maybe they give him the first quarter of the season. But you know, there is something that I think is in play here, and I know it's Phil, you'll probably roll your eyes at this, but none of us have experienced it, and I mean, none of us, I've never been a quarterback in an NFL game or a college game or anything like that, but I'm interested to know, I'd love to have a one-on-one with Mitch Trubisky and ask him how important this virtual reality system that they are employing in Chicago that not all of these, not all the NFL teams have grasped a hold of yet, because it seems like they're putting that out there a lot more. It almost seems like every time they talk to Ryan Pace and they talk to John Fox, it seems like they bring that up a lot, how these guys, these quarterbacks are able to get these live reps, you know, while not actually being in the game. They said John Fox made a comment, or Ryan Pace, one of them today, said that even Kyle Long has been in there using it to get reps while he hasn't been able to be on the field. And I think this is going to be something that we really have to monitor in you know, these next few games and even years to come, about how effective this VR system is for the development of quarterbacks, because I said you could start to see the roof blow off this whole thing if it is as truly effective as the Chicago Bears are making it sound, because is this the reason that Mitch Trubisky has exceeded Ryan Pace and John Fox's and Dowell Loggins' expectations so far this offseason? He's above where they expected him to be. Is that why? Does it have something to do with the VR? Do we have to give Dowell Loggins credit here because expectations are exceeded? Yes, part of it is Mitchell Trubisky, but I'm not going to sit here and throw Loggins completely under the bus and say that he's had zero to do with this development of this kid that is exceeding these expectations either. I think we have to look at this with a wide lens and kind of take everything into context.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what Shane is talking about this, there's new technologies like the 3D VRs that are being sold all over the place now, and now there's somebody has programmed it with actual 360-degree football plays so that quarterbacks and offensive linemen and position players and so forth, they can get real game-like experience and make decisions on what they're seeing in this 3D virtual reality. Glennon talked about it about 4 or 5 weeks ago on Bears All Access, and he said that it was really more helpful for Mitch Trubisky that he had, at that point anyway, had played around with it a little bit. And so we'll see. My opinion on it is that it probably will help a little bit, but, you know, it's a lot like when I play golf, you know, I'm on the practice green, I'm hitting 30-foot putts. And then when I get to the first hole and I'm on the green, I got a 3-foot putt, and it's worth a $5 bet, I fucking choke, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's that same thing.
There's never going to be anything that replaces actually being out there. I mean, I think we all know that, but I think maybe this is an important piece of the process of unlocking this quarterback mystery that we've seen in Chicago for ever. I mean, it's at this point you gotta take whatever you can get, and I just think it's going to be fascinating to track it as this goes on. I really do.
Absolutely. All right, I want to play a little game here that we're going to play every week on Bears 100 Proof, and it's called Bear Up. And Bear Down.
What is this?
And so the idea is that every week we're going to pick a player who is doing well, that's Bear Up, and who is not doing well, and that's Bear Down. Given that we haven't had a game yet, what we're going to do for this week's show is pick a player who during the preseason kind of surprised us with his play, and so that person gets the designation Bear Up, and... And then the Bear Down is a player that disappointed us during preseason. So let me begin. Let me roll my bottle here. And it ends on Shane Marshall. Shane Marshall, who is your Bear Up player?
My Bear Up is the diminutive Philatosha, or Tariq Cohen, actually. No, I think, you know, we saw the human joystick. We saw all these, you know, really fascinating plays of him at North Carolina A&T, and then real fun to watch. You know, he shows that explosion. I think John Fox said today that he's a small guy, but he plays big like Steve Smith, and I really actually thought that was a real good quote and a real good way to put it, because at this point, we heard all of this stuff leading up that he's this, you know, bigger-than-life personality, and he's not afraid of the room. You know, he's coming from a small school and coming to the big city of Chicago, and nothing seems too big for him. And we saw and we heard, you know, Akeem Hicks say, oh, man, this kid, you got to watch out for this kid. You know, we heard that even in OTAs. You know, this kid's just different. Jarrell Freeman said he's got a different gear. And he said, it doesn't matter if you take an angle on this kid. He's just, you think you got the angle and he's gone. And at this point, he's proved it in rookie minicamp. He proved it in OTAs. He proved it in training camp. Then that carried over into the preseason games. And it carried over so much that they didn't even play him in the fourth preseason game because they want to keep him you know, they want to keep him and make sure that he's on the field. And this kid is, he's a real dynamo, and I don't think he's a kid that we've ever really seen in Chicago in, you know, in a long time, the type of explosive, you know, cutback ability and can catch the football. And he also has, you know, he's the life of the party, the big personality. You know, I hear a lot of people say Darren Sproles. Actually had a little back and forth with Raul Bennington on Twitter, and we both agreed. I see a lot of Brian Westbrook in this kid, little more so than Darren Sproles. I think he's got more sheer speed than Darren Sproles does, just even if you're talking just going in a straight line. But I really think this kid has the ability to do something special. And if you think he's going to be a one-trick pony that's just going to be, you know, thrown out there here and there, I said he was the starting tailback in Arizona. And, yes, it was a preseason game, but that's just another challenge that the kid stepped up to and blew that out of the water too. I mean, he was the number one tailback, and he wasn't just doing, you know, bubble screens and running off tackle. He was, you know, running in gaps and cutting and then getting outside. And it, even a couple of times, he dropped his shoulder and pushed forward for another yard or two. And he did that on that one. I think it was either a second or a third and short where he dropped the shoulder and pushed forward for some more yards. So right now, he is my bear up, and that arrow is pointing way up because he's stepped up to the death. Absolutely, and that wasn't a sound effect. That was in my pants. For real, I love this kid. But, you know, he's just he's going to be a real fun kid to watch, and he has accepted every challenge head on, and he's won every challenge thus far.
All right, Phil, let me bring you in here, and you give me your bear up.
Well, normally I don't want to keep it simple, so I'm going to skip Mitch Trubisky because I would give it to him, but I'm going to give it to number 52, Christian Jones. Just watching this kid, almost thought of him as an afterthought, I got to be honest, as the season ended last year and the Bears were moving towards, you know, the whole free agency. He had no real interest out there. It was a re-signing, kind of under the radar. Kid came to camp really, honestly, far exceeded any expectation. I remember, in fact, you brought up the last show, the Mel Tucker, Mark Trestman years when Christian was put in the middle and just was lost. And he just was eaten up by blocks and missteps and false steps, just couldn't. And really, the same guy me and Shane were praying for on draft day, you know, wasn't there. This preseason, this young man has played outside linebacker in rushing situations where I feel like he's more talented than people give him credit for. He really has an innate, instinctive ability to rush and get under pads and get after the quarterback. But inside, he has been a closer, a finisher. He's not taking false steps. And as great as Kwiatkowski has looked, this kid has just looked as great. The Bears really have to be happy with their depth at the linebacker position. And I just wanted to give the kid his proper due. He was somebody who I really thought of, you know, as an afterthought, to be perfectly honest, a special teams guy maybe at this point. But I think Christian Jones is going to get some meaningful snaps this year. I think he's a great piece to the puzzle, and he might see him in third down situations and how they use him. So I'm going to tip my hat to that young man. He really busted his butt.
Good pick, and I'm going to just, I wasn't planning on picking one, but since you mentioned Mitch Trubisky, I got to point him out because this guy, in my mind, hold on, where's my boing? Where's my boner? There it is.
You're in your 60s. We know where that is.
Yeah, it's pointing down. Trubisky surprised me. A lot of the followers of this show know that I threw a famous rant about.
Can we get a replay of that?
Yeah. Maybe someday. But, you know, I my expectations for him were not very high. But clearly, this guy has come in and has shown me that he has all of the NFL skills necessary to be a special football player. The number one thing I look for in a quarterback is accuracy. I've sat through watching tons and tons of Chicago Bears quarterbacks who could not throw an accurate football, and this guy does it, and he does it from the pocket, from scrambling, and you name it, and that's just so damn impressive. The other thing that has impressed me has been his maturation and his growth rate. When I saw him on the Jon Gruden show before the draft, I was not at all impressed. You know, he didn't know what a heart count was. He didn't seem like a true leader, but all throughout the preseason, he has just been impressive with what we've heard him, what he does with the players, how he's taken over the locker room, how he's in control on the sidelines, how the players are looking up to him, how he handles press conferences now. He's handling the media like a pro. There's just a lot to really like about this guy, and we talked about him a lot at the top of the show and why he should be the number one quarterback. But I got to throw my hat in there for Mitch Trubisky. Very, very fucking impressive. All right, we got to
go. Well said.
Thank you. We've got to go now to our Bear Down. And Shane, why don't you start us off with who you think
you suck
is worthy of that accolade?
Well, mine's a little bit. I mean, it's kind of an expected player, I think. To kind of play off what Phil said, maybe it's the easy way out, but it's not just the player himself. It's the overall situation with Kevin White. It has to do with Kevin White, you know, running sloppy routes. It has to do with the coaches, with their handling of him. You know, the day that he was drafted, we immediately heard that this is a raw player. You know, he wasn't asked to run every route on the route tree. You okay there? Did you just have a heart attack? What was that?
I was just farting. I'm sorry.
I thought that was your pacemaker giving out or something. what drives me nuts, and I'm a little, I don't want to say higher on Kevin White than most. I understand the slow ascent on the field, especially in terms of him missing so many games with the injuries. But there's no reason that he's not going hard every single down. So that there is on Kevin White. And, you know, and I don't think we can give him – I don't think we can see the true Kevin White until we get a viable quarterback in there with Kevin White. You know, we saw a little bit of that with Jay, but then Kevin would run the wrong route, and Jay may, you know, go away from him. So that stuff is all on Kevin White. If he's not going to go 100%, if he's scared of getting hurt, that's a Kevin White problem, and that's something that he has to get fixed. But what pisses me off more than anything is, just like we talked with Mike Glennon, just like we talked with Mitch Trubisky, this is a raw player. And what does a raw player need? He needs reps. And the white glove treatment with Kevin White in these preseason games, it infuriates me more and more every week. Mm-hmm. When they're, you know, going out there, they're treating him like he's an established superstar in the league. You know, Kevin White should have been out there for three quarters versus Cleveland. I don't give a shit if it's the fourth preseason game or not. He needs reps. He should have been out there with Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky shouldn't have been handing the ball off in his first nine times. You know what? I don't give a shit if Mitch was 0-for-8 in his first two series. Force the fucking ball to Kevin White. I would have been happier with that if he was just forcing the ball to Kevin White just to get reps, to get used to his timing. Why these guys are it's like they're either scared that he's going to get hurt, or they're scared to show us who the true Kevin White is at this point. Maybe the injuries have zapped him so much, but you know, it's just a bad look overall for even for Ryan Pace and for John Fox and to his third wide receiver coach in 3 seasons, Zach Azani, or however you pronounce it. You know, why are you holding this kid back from going out there, and why are you not holding him accountable? I know we had some tape there of Kevin running some sloppy routes. I think it was in the Arizona game. And, you know, at this point, there's no reason for it. He talks about the desire wanting to be out there and how tough it has been because he's been injured and hasn't been able to be out there. Well, Kevin, you're out there now. So go out there and bust your ass and shut up and do your job. And the same thing goes for the coaches. Don't put a cap on this kid. He's sat for the better part of 2 years. Let him get out there and eat up every rep possible. And this is one of the biggest things that I want to watch now, is because you saw Mike Glennon not go to Kevin White very often in the preseason, and it was, you know, the people that were pro White were, oh, Mike Glennon wasn't going to him because he's got a better rapport with Cam Meredith. And the people that didn't like Kevin White are saying, well, he didn't go to Kevin White because Kevin Wright was running sloppy routes every time. Well, we're going to see versus Atlanta, because Kevin White is at the mountaintop at this point. I think Kendall Wright will probably be your leading receiver. I think we all kind of agree with that. But this is Kevin White's chance to go out there. I mean, you just want to see a sign of life. You want to see something positive. And at this point, until that changes, he's going to be my bear down on a weekly basis.
Good rant there, brother. Good one.
Who dis? Who dis? Who dis?
Well done. All right, who do you got in the shitty category there, Mr. Phil?
Mike Glennon.
Who's Mike Glennon?
Who did?
If they start Mike Glennon, I'm just rooting for the Bears to lose. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Since Shane went all Philatosian on Kevin White, by the way, he is the smartest man in the room.
Unquestionably.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I gotta say, you know, I think I hammered the nail into the coffin here in regards to this. But I got a feeling we're going to be talking about this for 4 more weeks of stubbornness. It's like I compare it to the cell phone industry. There's people that charge all these hidden fees, fees for this and a fee, a government fee and a state tax fee and a fee for servicing your phone. That's what I think Mike Glenn comes with. And that's what I feel like this coaching staff is hindering us from actually seeing the best possible team and offense come Sunday. And Mike Glennon has shown me nothing this preseason but inconsistency. He had a nice drive against Tennessee, and then where was the rest of it? I think the old school philosophy and the thinking behind this comes across to me as we're more concerned about Mike Glennon's feelings and more concerned about Mike Glennon being able to start games than we are for the overall team. And what I saw from him just was in that sound effect. It was below average, and I'm not gonna pretty it up. In fact, I'm going to do this for the bar room and take every Glennon throw and just put it to a reel. And there's no hiding from that. And you'll just see, you know, I put some videos up of this guy, and, you know, it comes with 35,000 excuses from this Glennon contingency, like believing that somehow Mitchell isn't ready in their mind. But to me, football is football. It's like riding a bike. There's that thing that Shane was referring to, and Coach Fox actually did a great job in talking about Terry Cohen. And you just see it. It's not bigger than him. You see the opposite with the tight end, Shaheen. He seems like a baby deer trying to gather his feet. He's not ready yet. You could see that. It's not hiding. There's no question of the guy's talent and size. When I look at Trubisky and I hear Aldo Gandy saying the opposite of what he said, you see it and you believe it and you build off that and you make a believer out of the team and him. And that's why I'm so – that's my down, my bear down is Mike Glennon. Until Mike Glennon shows me Sunday, I'm going to sit back. And Shane was poking fun at that. I did it last week. I will never cheer against Mike Glennon. I want to be wrong, folks. So those people that think I'm only complaining, I'm only focused on the negative. No, I'm focusing on the truth. The truth is I've seen shit from Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon, I challenge you to bear up and be a man come Sunday and help this Chicago Bears team shock the world and beat the Atlanta Falcons.
Come on, you fucking Glennon. All right. Here, I got a name for you that has disappointed me. And the reason he's disappointed me is because I had such high expectations for him coming out of college, and that's Adam Shaheen, the tight end. Now, it was a surprise to all of us that he was drafted so high. What was it, the second round, 13th pick overall? But, you know, if you look at this kid and how fast he is, he's 280 pounds and what he did against those little guys that he played at college, you can understand why, you know, General Manager Ryan Pace was so high on him. And we all know that there were other GMs that were targeting him in the second round as well. Nonetheless, you know, given his slow start is a little concerning. He certainly has, you know, the eyes caught in the headlights and playing in the big city. I mean, he goes to restaurants that have more people in the restaurants than they did in the stadium that he played at Ashland. So he's suffering from that effect, that pressure. But he hasn't shown anything at all that you would say, okay, that's the guy. That's the baby Gronk. That's, you know. And so I wouldn't at all be surprised if he doesn't dress for a couple of the early games. And that would be a real shame if that happens with your second round pick. So just like Phil finished saying about Mike Glennon, Adam Shaheen has got to, you know, bear down and so that he can be on our bear up list in a week or two. All right, fellas, we're closing in on an hour, and I want to make sure that we talk about this Falcon game. And the way we'll do this is I'll start with Shane. I'd like you to pick a player on the defense, and then Phil can talk about the offense, who you think is really necessary to have a huge game against the Atlanta Falcons if we're going to pull off an upset down in Atlanta. Who do you think on the defense is a player who has to have an outstanding game in order for us to come out of there 1-0?
This is pretty... what's that, Phil? Chime in.
Trust the plan, watch it unfold, and we'll get back to our winning ways.
There you go. Thank you, Teddy, sweaty Teddy.
The kid actually knows.
I'll begin the show calling John Fox a cunt, and we can end it with calling Ted Phillips a cunt. How's that? Bears 100 proof. No, it's easy. I'm sure Phil and Aldo, you as well, would pick the same guy. It's Leonard Floyd. You're playing. Yep. Top offense like this, you know, you just, I gotta say, the two names, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you know, everybody knows that we don't have great cornerbacks at this point, and Prince Amukamara is, even when healthy, he doesn't inspire me, you know, too much that he's going to be able to cover anybody's number one wide receiver. So the best way to combat that is to crank up your pass rush and make it difficult for the opposing quarterback to complete passes. And to me, it's, you know, Leonard Floyd is the number one guy. You want to see another raw prospect that Ryan Pace has brought in here. You want to see that year one to year two growth. We saw there his first snap of the preseason when he came around the corner and got the sack on Simeon versus Denver. But, you know, you want to see him make Matt Ryan, who's not the most athletically gifted quarterback in the world, you want to see him get pressure and make life hell for him in the pocket. Because, you know, if you're going to let him sit back there and have all day, it's going to be bad news for the Bears defense. And I mean, that's just a given at this point. They have the highest scoring offense, I believe, in the league last year. And I mean, they got almost to the top of the mountain there in the Super Bowl versus New England before they did the proverbial piss down the legs like Mike Glennon is going to do, like what Phil Atoshin said. But it's going to go over to Willie Young too. But to me, it just, you know, you got to get a pass rush. You got to make Matt Ryan think back there that, oh shit, these guys are coming. I gotta get the ball away. And you can't give him time to let an uber talent like Julio Jones run all over that Soldier Field turf and dominate our unproven journeyman quarterbacks or cornerbacks at this point. So Leonard Floyd, all the way. He's got to be your big gun all season long, and that starts this Sunday versus Atlanta.
He's going up against a right tackle, Ryan Schrader, who I guess he was a part-time player, part-time starter with the Broncos, right? And the Falcons brought him in for a 2018 draft pick, so I think that's who's starting at right tackle. I'll double-check that. If I'm incorrect, I'll let people know via Twitter, as I always do when I make my multiple mistakes. All right, Phil, your turn on the offense. Excuse me. Who do you think has to have an excellent game for us to pull up an upset in Atlanta?
Oh, it's very clear. This is going to be, as we said, very heavy tight end based offense. But really, ultimately, besides the proverbial pissing match that Mike Glenn is going to have with himself, Jordan Howard's going to have to be the bell cow, mixing in with a dynamic offset and Tarik Cohen. That running game, I would say, in and above itself, is going to be the chariot of fire that needs to transpire at Soldier Field. I sound like Muhammad Ali here. Jeez. But that's got to happen with that running back is hitting it and going after it and getting this team in position to get points. Because when you're playing a high-powered offense, as you know and you've witnessed in the past, that you need to score points too and not put so much pressure on your defense. Hopefully the Chicago Bears can get Jordan Howard going early, use that interior of your offensive line to get him going. And, you know, Kyle Long, is he going to dress? Is he going to be a part of that interior that is so good and could be so dominant? And when you're running that zone-based scheme, is going to free up and get Jordan Howard going, because that's going to be critical to the success of a Mike Glennon, who are so many red flags and so many concerns with. The other thing, Cody Whitehair, he hasn't played one game this preseason at his best position at center. It's a little disconcerting, especially when you're talking about the offensive line and continuity. So really, Jordan Howard and Tarik Cohen are going to be critical in this game, with the wide receiver question marks and the quarterback question mark. So that side of the football is going to be very concerning. Jordan Howard has got to come ready to play and really set the tone for this team with that offensive line. And hopefully Dowell Loggins doesn't abandon that running game too soon, because you've seen, especially if you think back to that Minnesota game, I thought Dowell called his best game, where he was able to just put it on Jordan Howard's back and that offensive line, let him have fun. And they absolutely manhandled Minnesota in a way I don't think I've seen a Bears team do since the 80s, and just dominating the line of scrimmage up and down the field. That's what they're going to have to do. Make Atlanta give up and really get punish them, and then bring in Tarik Cohen to do his damage. So really, the big key critical player is going to be two. It's going to be, you know, Jordan Howard and Tarik Cohen.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. I want to close the show by acknowledging some of our Twitter followers. We're going to do more and more of this as the season goes on. You guys have just been great. Your interaction with us, your suggestions, your participation in helping us name shows and stuff. Can't thank you enough. So we've been interacting a lot with you over the last few weeks, and I just want to give a shout out to some of the people. Phil, why don't you begin? I know you interacted with somebody who's listening to us all the way from, where was it? Just Spain, was it? Or Mexico?
Oh, we got him from Mexico. Nacho.
Nacho Gonzalez.
From Mexico. This kid's got a group of Bear fanatics out there, which is, it's really what we were talking about and what I was talking about in my travels. It's just amazing the power of that jersey and the history of it and the tradition. It's time to come back to it. I appreciate, you know, Nacho and his crew over there supporting Bears Barroom. They're tweeting at us, Aldo. They listen regularly. So I want to send a shout out to you and your beautiful boy. He sent me some pictures. So great stuff. Also from Michael from Mother Russia. Aldo, I don't want to get you fired up in a political rant right now.
Yeah, please.
But we got some Russian followers across over in Europe in Shane's wife's country. So you got to be happy about that.
So, the country of Europe, Aldo.
The continent, sorry. So I keep forgetting. She's from the Czech, correct?
Czech Republic, yes, sir.
She bring in our podcast over there. Do we have a following there?
Oh yeah, they all enjoyed the smartest man in the bar room commercial that Aldo
there
did.
There you go.
Yeah.
So right now, Aldo, we have fans that I've been DM'd from and followed, and maybe we could do a poll later or at some point in the season as we continue to grow Bears 100 Proof. So far, I tallied Mexico, Canada, Scotland, Ireland, England. Did I already say Mexico?
Yes, you did.
Russia, Aruba, Jamaica. Go ahead. You could sing the rest. So we're growing worldwide. That's our goal. If we missed your country, give us a shout out. We're going to make sure we get you out there. And all the regulars that really support this show, we really appreciate. Again, this is episode one. We are going to be doing this every week, and we are going to break it down to the bare truth, the 100 proof of truth. So shout out to all of you, and thank you for the great feedback.
Shane, you want to...
Oh, we have one other follower, Mark in Dubai.
Mark in Dubai, that's right.
He stays up late, always commenting about the show, and just, it's not, I don't want to go on a little thing, but I've really got to say this. How hard is it to, in this day and age, to say something positive? I know I could be negative too, but I'm just... venting on the truth of what we're dealing with the Bears. But I have no problem giving praise to where it's due, and I'm going to make a concerted effort to do that here on the show, to praise some of you for taking the time out, even if it's 2 seconds, to say, you know what, I really enjoy your show. To do that, it seems like today, in this environment, in this country, in the atmosphere, is too hard for people to do. Well, we are going to respect you for doing and taking that little time out, because it means something. It means something to me, and I know it means something to these guys. So thank you.
Shane Marsong, what do you got to say?
You know, and if they do want to shout us out, the best place to do that is on iTunes. Give us some positive feedback. That gives us a little bit more exposure. Yes. So we do appreciate all that.
All right, Shane, you got anyone you want to do a shout out to?
Yes, I do. I want to shout out some of the lovely ladies in our Bears fandom out there. We need to fill up this bar room with some beautiful women. So AC Lady Loves Bears, one of the biggest Chicago Bears fans that I follow on Twitter. She'll tell you how it is, and she's a devoted listener and cheerer for our favorite team, the Chicago Bears. At Sleep Expert Karen, another longtime devotee of all of us here, guys, mm-hmm. at Barroom. She just shows through and through how much she loves the Chicago Bears, and you do love to see that. And I got my last one is at Bowser Angela. Angela seems to always chime in on Twitter and asks me a bunch of questions that she wants answers to about the Chicago Bears. And, you know, I always tell her, who's the best guy to come to? Why not come to the smartest man in the bar room? So that's why she comes to talk to me. So I appreciate all you ladies out there with your Bears info, and we appreciate all your follows, and we're looking forward to this 2017 season, providing all of you with some info and following you guys along on Twitter also.
And this Barry White song is for you ladies.
Look at this pimp Shane Marr song.
That's right.
Shouting out the ladies.
Well done, right, man. You are still feeling romantic, huh?
Yeah, the kids, it's carrying over. Look at them.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, hey, all I need is 4 minutes. That's a double session. I can make everybody happy.
All right. I want to shout out to two people. First of all, Robert Phelan. We've been having some fun interaction with him for some time now. And I also want to say I love Robert's name, because if he goes by the name Dick, then his name is Dick Phelan. and also want to give a shout out to
are you an expert in that field?
I'm almost there, yeah. And a shout out to Chris Armstrong, who has actually written her first article for Bears Barroom, and that will be posted on Wednesday.
Chris, wait a second here.
Chris is sharing some thoughts throughout the season about her love of football and her love of the Chicago Bears. So her first piece will be up on Wednesday on bearsbarroom.com. So I really want to thank them. I also want to let people know that on Friday, we're going to have our first Bears on Tap show. And I've got two confirmed guests. Ross Reed is going to talk with me about the Chicago Bears. A lot of people know Ross from his podcast here in town. What the hell's the name of that? I don't have it in front of me. Oh, here it is. He's the host of the Coffin Corner podcast. He's also a co-host of the Mac and Reed show. He's very active on Twitter. If you are not following Ross Reed, at Ross Reed, RossReade, great guy. And he's always putting pictures of himself up working out and stuff, which makes me fucking jealous. A guy's built like an Adonis. And then Talking Falcons for us is the podcast host of Locked On Falcons, Aaron Freeman. He will join us to give us a clue as to what the Falcons are looking like, and hopefully they're still suffering a hangover from that embarrassing defeat in the last Super Bowl. So that's our show, guys. What'd you think? Do you think we did all right?
Absolutely. Although I forgot, actually I have one more woman on my list here. It's at Cox Sports One. I heard she's a loyal fan, and I just wanted to give her a little shout out too.
Yeah, and I'd like to give a shout out to her girlfriend Jess, who joined us a couple of shows ago.
Yes.
And I was actually listening to that a couple of days ago, and she was so entertaining, and she's always welcome back, and she can bring her girlfriend Lauren with her as well. So all right, fellas, I haven't figured out how to end this. Should I end it the way I always have? If you drink, why not? Let's keep it consistent. Listen, Bears fans. Keep it 100 proof. There you go. If you drink, please don't drive. And please, keep it 100 proof. We got to figure out a way of doing some prank phone calls on some of these Bears radio shows that suck, you know, like Sal and Richard do.
Did to the swap shop, you know,
Tradio. Tradio.
Yes. Yes.
That would be awesome. And then instead of saying Baba Booey, they say Bears Barroom or some shit like that.
That would be great.
All right, we've got to put the word out to our followers. We need you to do some prank phone calls. That would be great.
Exactly. There's Barroom Rule.
There you go. Baba Booey. Oh. Yeah. All right, fellas.
Go ahead. Baba Booey. We'll do Aldo Gandia's penis instead of Howard Stern's penis.
My acorn penis.
I gotta find that vodka straight up. Thank you. Yeah. Drop Aldo. I'll send it to you.
That would be awesome. Please do. All right, guys. I am gonna spend the next hour with my daughter who's here, and then I'll edit this and it'll be up around midnight tonight.
Damn it, we should have shouted her out, Phil. We've seen those pictures.
I know.
I asked her if she wanted to be on tonight. She said, fuck no.
Voiceover?
She's not in the voiceover business. I like Jess's deep pipes there. She could definitely do that for us.
Oh, my God. You know what was good about her? I said she gave it to Lauren right without even batting an eye.
I know.
His balls haven't dropped yet. I'm like, I fucking love you. That was so great.
His pretend girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was good.
She's probably fucking him in the ass.
All right, boys.
All right, guys.
Later.
Bye.